I call upon the last presenter, Dr. Laszlo Váradi. He has his 30 minutes available. Your lunch will probably be a little bit shortened. Laszlo Váradi is director of the Research Institute of Fisheries, Aquaculture and Irradiation in Hungary. He has 30 years' experience in aquaculture research, development and training, and works regularly as a consultant for developing assistance programs in developing countries. From 2002 to 2008, he was president of the European Aquaculture Society and is presently the focal point of network of aquaculture centers in Central and Eastern Europe. The floor is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, this presentation is a summary of a European regional review on aquaculture development, which was prepared by a team of my institute and the European Aquaculture Society with the help of FAO. And there are four major parts of my presentation: the status and trends, salient issues, the way forward, and some main messages. First, status and trends. In my presentation, I will cover 44 countries, as you can see on the slide, including Russia. The Russian territory goes beyond the Ural Mountain, which is the border of Europe, and Turkey also goes a little bit to Asia. But anyway, all of these data are included in my presentation. The population of Europe is more than 800 million, which is a little bit less than 13% of the world population, and 6 of the 10 largest economies of the world are in Europe. However, Europe is not a homogeneous region. We have the European Union, and we have the Commonwealth of Independent States, the former Soviet states, and there are some countries which are not belonging to these two big categories. There is a very high differences in GDP per capita in this region. As you may see on this graph, like, it's very high in Luxembourg, over $80,000, while it's very low, for example, in the Republic of Moldova, which belongs to the least developed countries. The employment is an important, which is provided by aquaculture. There are some 150,000 people who are involved in the primary production and close to that value employed in the post-harvest industry. About 8-10 tons is produced by one person in conventional aquaculture, like pond culture, while up to 300 tons by one person in intensive modern aquaculture. Then the labor is an important issue in some of the Eastern European countries and in some rural and coastal areas. The European share of aquaculture production, the world aquaculture production, is only 4.5%, not like in Asia, as Sena introduced, but Europe is a leading region in the production of some species like the salmon, the trout, sea bass, sea bream, the turbot, and mussels. If we look at the production between 1990 and 2008, then we can see that in terms of volume, the production is almost leveling, but in terms of value, there has been a significant increase in the past 10 years. If we look at the different regions, then we can see that in terms of volume, the aquaculture production in the European Union, the 27 countries of the EU, is a little bit on a decline, while in Northern and Western European non-EU countries, in this category, Norway is the biggest country, there is an increase in the terms of volume, mainly due to the production of salmon. In the Southern and Eastern non-EU countries, including Turkey and Russia, there is a slight increase in terms of volume. If we look at the value, there is a different picture. Even in the EU, where the production in terms of volume is almost stagnating, the value is increasing steadily. in the past 10 years. That's the same in northern and western non-EU countries, and also in the Eastern European countries, including Russia and Turkey. The main aquaculture producing countries, Norway is definitely the biggest one, then Spain, France, Italy, UK, Turkey, and the Russian Federation. The major species in Europe which are produced in aquaculture are mainly salmonids. As you can see, that almost 50% of the total production are salmonids, mainly Atlantic salmon and rainbow trout, mainly in freshwater areas. And then the shellfish is also representing a quite high share from the production. However, there are some species, some emerging species, of which production is increasing sharply, like the Atlantic cod. This is really a dramatic increase. The turbot, which has been increasing steadily since the year 2000, and Arctic char and meager are also emerging species in Europe. If we look at the environment where aquaculture production is coming from, then we can see that 75% of the production is coming from marine aquaculture, from marine environment, which is still growing, as you could see in the previous slides. And the freshwater, this one, and the yellow one, the brackish water aquaculture, is rather stagnating. The fish consumption also shows a significant difference between countries. Some of the coastal countries like Spain, Portugal, Iceland, Norway, eating a lot of fish, while in some Eastern European countries, fish consumption is very, very low, below 5 kg per person per year. If we look at the fish consumption according to geographic regions, then we can see that in some of the coastal areas marked with red, the consumption is more than 40 kilograms per person per year. If we move to the east, it's getting less and less. And in these countries, in these Eastern European countries, consumption is low. In the former Soviet countries, consumption is a little bit high due to the infrastructure which was built during the Soviet times. The principal farming system includes the cages, mainly the marine cages, in the north and in the Mediterranean, the shellfish farming facilities, the flow-through systems all over in Europe, mainly for trout production. Recently, there are large-scale recirculation systems. There are coastal lagoons and freshwater ponds. But don't believe that all of the production systems are large-scale in Europe, because about 60% of the enterprises don't have more income than 1 million euro per year. And there are many of those small farms, especially in Central and Eastern Europe, when the farm size is less than 10 hectares. There are some emerging technologies, which have already been mentioned during the previous presentations, the offshore cages, when the cages are moving to the open ocean, the new generation of recirculating aquaculture systems, and the integrated multitrophic aquaculture. A few highlights about the European salient issues. One major issue is that aquaculture is the most heavily regulated food production sector in Europe. This has a consequence on many of the other issues that will be discussed in the coming minutes. Looking at the resources, services, and technologies, a main issue is the increasing competition for space, competition with urbanization, with tourism, with agriculture. Sometimes aquaculture is not an equal user. We are not recognized as equal user. Limited access to seed capital or loan for innovation is also a problem in Europe, especially in some less developed regions of Europe. Special services are available. They are quite highly developed, like the seed supply or the feed supply, the veterinary services, what is really required for a modern industry, and some new type of services like insurance, financial services, PR, are emerging. We have a specific problem in Europe, the limited availability of authorized veterinary medical products. This is due to the very strict regulation. And to get the license for such a product takes a very long time and a lot of money, and small producers cannot afford to have that. Just one example about the sustainable use of feed resources. We can replace the fish oil and the fish meal. We can introduce phase feeding when we apply fish oil and fish meal only certain life stages when it is most appropriate. And of course, it's an option to change the species mix towards species low on the food chain. However, in Europe, there has been a 50% decrease in the share of fish meal and fish feeds over the last decade as a result of research and innovation. There is a recent project in Europe, the so-called Aquamax project, and there is one finding, one result of this project, that 70% plant oil and 80% plant protein is a replacement of fish oil and fish meal without having any problem with the nutrient supply and even the taste. Aquaculture and environment is an issue in Europe just like any other regions of the world. We have a lot of EU regulations related to environment. And as a result of these strict regulations, most of the aquaculture operations, most of the systems are rather environmental friendly. The impact of aquaculture on the environment is very well controlled in most of the facilities. And we have to apply environmental impact assessment. There is a strict control on exotic species, the movement of species from country to country. However, as far as environmental issues are concerned, the conflict with other users is still an issue, and as Sanna discussed it, public perception is an issue. When we discuss the markets and trades in Europe, we have to highlight the Europe is the largest importing region of the world. 40% of the global trade goes to the EU. In the EU, I'm talking just about the EU, but there are some other countries which are importing fish from other regions. And in the European Union, 65% of the consumed seafood is from import. The biggest importing countries are France, Spain, and Italy. And if we look at the trade balance, then we can see that the negative trade balance is increasing continuously. There is one example here on the Pangasius, which goes to Poland. Poland is one of the biggest importers of Pangasius. This red line shows the carp, the traditional carp supply to the market, which is steady. That is around 20,000 tons. And then in 2005, Pangasius appeared in the market. And then it goes up to almost 80,000 tons by 2007. But recently, Pangasius in the Polish market is going a little bit down. The contribution of aquaculture to food security, social and economic development is in an important aspect of aquaculture. Food security is an issue, just like in other least developed countries, in some Central and Eastern European countries, and some rural and coastal areas. In aquaculture, mostly men are employed, but the ratio of women in aquaculture is relatively high in the Russian Federation. I have to underline that the share of aquaculture in the national economies is low. Maybe not as low as in Africa, but it reaches 0.1% of the GDP only in Norway, Malta, Greece, and the Faroe Island. This is the slide that shows you the share of fisheries and aquaculture together in the national economies, and this is the 0.2% level. Now, we feel that we have resources in terms of national resources, in terms of human resources, and we may unlock this huge potential and to be able to increase the share of aquaculture in the national economy if there is political will. External pressures. Environmental factors should be mentioned here. We are also suffering from some of the effects of the climate change. This is a picture from Hungary, where I am from. We can catch the fish on the street during the flood time, now, which it looks funny, but it's quite a serious issue. The variations in inputs like the seed stock, the fish meal and oil, energy, labor, increasing import, increasing input prices, stagnating or lowering market prices. It's really the situation which has also been mentioned by Senna. In the 80s, the salmon price was 10, 12 euros per kilo. And now the salmon price is 3-5 euros per kilo. The prices are decreasing, which is creating difficult economical problems. External pressures on the sector, just like the government policy, we can see a very positive examples if the government is creating an enabling environment. Aquaculture can be developed like in Norway and Greece. There are many other factors like the trade, the financial factors, competitive factors, and economic crisis. Europe is suffering from economic crisis. Actually, we could clearly observe the decrease in purchasing power, and people are looking for some cheaper products. And this was one of the reasons why Pangasius became quite popular. Behind the European aquaculture development, we have a lot of aspects like the shared information, the research, training, extension, and networking. Although we have a rich research environment in Europe, but the public and private institutions are rather fragmented. This is why the European Union established the so-called European Research Area in the year 2000, to provide more interlinkage, more coordination, eliminate overlaps. The success is just partial. We still have the fragmentation. Situation is improving. In the EU, we have the so-called framework program, which provides fund for research. This is a significant contribution to research besides the private investment. There are significant research activities in other countries, like in Norway, in Turkey, and the Central and Eastern European countries, which do not belong to the EU. There are research networks, pan-European research networks, in which either EU or non-EU countries are members. This is the EFARO, the European Fisheries and Aquaculture Research Organization, and the NACI, the Network of Aquaculture centers in Central and Eastern Europe. That is another example for a pan-European training network, training and education, the so-called AquaTNet, having more than 100 members. These are very good examples of cooperation in research and training. There are, of course, inter-regional collaboration between European regions. Then that is a very important initiative, which is the European Aquaculture Technology and Innovation Platform, the EATIP. I will give you one more slide on the EATIP. Europe actually contributes to global aquaculture development through partnership in technology and knowledge transfer. And this is what I wanted to show on this slide. There are significant initiatives like the AquaSAM project, Europe-Asia, the Sarnisa, Europe-Africa. I think these are very important, which we together may contribute to alleviate problems in aquaculture development globally. European Aquaculture Technology Innovation Platform. I think this is a very important initiative because this platform brings together the science, the industry, and all the other stakeholders, including policymakers, consumers. And one of the major objectives of the platform is to assure the European aquaculture as sustainable industry. And in order to achieve this, the platform is elaborating a vision for the European aquaculture and an overarching strategic research and innovative agenda. And one of the other important objectives of the platform is to consolidate the role of aquaculture in the society. And we try to focus on consumers and to establish strong relationship with the consumers. Governance and management are very important issues, which have also been mentioned by previous speakers. In Europe, in the European Union, the first European aquaculture development strategy was elaborated in 2002. That strategy was a little bit cautious, precautionary. Now, there is a new one, which was submitted to the European Parliament in 2009, which is more proactive, focusing on competitiveness, not to forget about sustainable, of course. And we do hope that this will give an impetus to European aquaculture development, not only in Europe, but also to other countries which are not members. There are economic incentives. In the EU, we have the European Fisheries Fund, which is providing a fund not only for research and innovation, but also for investment, for modernization of the aquaculture industry. We have important stakeholder interaction. I have already mentioned the importance of stakeholder interaction. When we are talking about regulation, the stakeholders are involved in the regulatory process. For example, through this ACFA, which stands for Aquaculture Advisory Committee for Fisheries and Aquaculture, and representatives of the industry, the research, NGOs are sitting there, and we are involved. And there are projects like the consensus, which was a very good tool to improve the communication with consumers. In Europe, there are more and more consumers organizations. We really have to have a dialogue with them. The sector self-governance is also an important issue. The FEOP, the Federation of European Aquaculture Producers, elaborated the Code of Conduct in 2000. This has recently been updated in 2008, taking into account some new facts. Data collection and management to support policy is very important. We still have to improve this aspect. And finally, a few highlights the way forward. First of all, we believe that the responsible use of resources and the protection of the environment will remain key challenges. The exploitation of new sites, new land areas, new water areas will be extremely difficult. We have to use environmental assessment. We have to be reliable. We have to use scientific evidences. And of course, we have to follow the best management practice. Anyway, this is definitely will be a key issue in the future development of European aquaculture. The legislative framework is very complicated now, and it should definitely be simplified and consolidated. The sector also needs a level playing field. We have to be equal competitors with others. There is a need for specific data collection for aquaculture and fishery products and market conditions to support policy. Recently, the establishment of a so-called market observatory has been decided, and this will be established in the future. The consequences of the global climate change and potential scenarios have to be assessed with the involvement of stakeholders and to define policy for the future. This will be discussed in other sessions during this conference. The success of the modern professional aquaculture sector is really dependent on the availability of high-quality services, as I already mentioned. Besides the conventional services, seed, feed, veterinary services, we need special services like insurance. Europe is a well-served region regarding insurance, especially the high market value species. And also some other like PR, very important. New aquaculture technologies will definitely provide new opportunities. Also in Europe, like the offshore cages, the recirculating aquaculture, integrated aquaculture, a lot of efforts have been made, and hopefully more and more results will help the industry to develop. This is again what Sanna discussed, the eliminating negative public perception of consumers and policymakers is a very important task for the future. We have to explain to the citizens and the policymakers what we are doing, and we should be proud of our results. Sometimes the public doesn't know so much about aquaculture. We have made a lot of surveys. They cannot even recognize 5 important fish species. We really have to be more proactive and to explain again and again to the public and also to the policymakers. The development of the eco-label, which can certify that the product is produced in an environmentally friendly way, is getting more and more important. The European Commission actually was called upon by the Parliament and also the producers to elaborate such an eco-label. We have a lot of certification systems and labels. It's a bit confusing. This should be a little bit clarified. And finally, we need a better communication within the value chain and towards consumers. This was also highlighted by Sanna. We have to convince the consumers, we have to encourage them to buy sustainable products. And the European aquaculture is capable to supply sustainable products. And finally, I tried just to deliver some main messages. We believe that the challenge for European aquaculture is to achieve innovative and economic growth. Secondly, the European aquaculture needs strong political will and, as I already mentioned, a level playing field, equal chance. European aquaculture must be perceived as an environmentally, economically, and socially sustainable activity based on scientific evidences and consumers' confidence. Thank you very much for your attention.